Let us then turn in God's Word to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Our text is verse 27 through 31. I was thinking about, I've heard people do sermon series at this time of year on the last words of Christ, and I started reading and I said, you know, they omit some of these. So our text is one of the last words of Christ, and yet it seems to be omitted among these things. So I want to start reading at verse 26, and we'll read through verse 38, but that will actually cover some of what we'll look at, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs which never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves.' And an inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Thus far, the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, as we look at one of the last sayings of Christ, we look at a saying that's not terribly warm and fuzzy. Jesus said, "Weep. Weep for yourselves, weep for your children." I think that's probably why it doesn't get listed in those seven last sayings of Christ. But brothers and sisters, this is important. What is Jesus saying on the way to the cross? What is Jesus saying to us? Jesus, in the midst of going to the cross, is reminding people of what he is enduring. He's reminding people of the judgment of God. And he is reminding us of what hell is like. Notice what he says in verse 31, "For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" If God does this to his well-beloved, his only begotten Son, sends him to the cross, I don't know if you've heard or perhaps read one of these descriptions of the physical agony of Christ in crucifixion. Somebody gave a chapel on that in seminary, and I almost threw up. It's just, crucifixion is horrendous. And yet, the crucifixion was nothing compared to what Christ was suffering spiritually, paying for our sins. And Jesus argues and says what he is suffering is in the greenwood, is the lesser. What will be done in the dry? What is hell? What are we worthy of? And so, brothers and sisters, it's a reminder. Jesus is speaking to people who are following him, mourning him on the way to the cross. Aren't these believers? Well, there were people all along who thought Jesus was going to be some earthly ruler, some earthly leader. And so there were many who would be mourning him because of that idea, that he was supposed to throw off these nasty Romans and now he's getting crucified. And so as we look at God's Word this morning, as we consider and run toward Easter and Good Friday, as we consider Christ's sacrifice, we are to be reminded of that from which he is saving us. As we consider Christ's sacrifice, remember that from which he is saving us. In verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "Weep for yourselves, not him." In verses 29 through 31, we see that judgment is coming. And so, brothers and sisters, first of all, Jesus says, "Weep for yourselves." Here are people coming after Christ on the way to the cross, and they're weeping and mourning for him. And Jesus says, "Don't look at me. Look at yourselves." This is a multitude following after. And Jesus points them to themselves. God's justice is on display on the cross. And I think there are two ways we can consider this. First of all, if we're not in Christ, we have to see the fullness of God's judgment. We have to understand how horrific this stuff is. That God laid on his well-beloved, his only begotten Son, death. Hell. Consider Christ in Gethsemane. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to have to suffer. People go unknowing every day, saying, "Oh, I'm going to be good enough for God." No, we are not good enough for God. Consider that for an unbeliever, the wrath of God is everlasting. Forever. God does not allow one speck of sin to go unpunished. And brothers and sisters, we need to own up to the fact that we deserve that. We need to realize that I deserve that. And so the second way in which we can look at Jesus' statement to them is even as a Christian, we must say, "I deserve that judgment." We are to look at our Savior and see him taking the punishment I deserve. We are to weep for ourselves as well, to glorify our Savior. Notice that we call Friday in a week and a half a little bit more, Good Friday. Because Christ died. He says, "Don't weep for me." He does this on purpose. He suffers this for the glory which will follow. We weep for ourselves because it's our sins, my sins, that put Jesus on that cross. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And so, brothers and sisters, we are to weep for ourselves, to consider our sins and God's judgment on them. And that's our second point this morning as well. Judgment is coming. Jesus points that out very clearly. For indeed, the days are coming, verse 29, when they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. They will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Now this specifically points to the destruction of Jerusalem coming up, but it points us just as well to the final days, those same words, to the hills, fall on us, and things point out as well in Revelation to the final judgment day. Judgment is coming. We must not ignore that. We must not say, well, tomorrow I'll deal with this some other time. God will give me a few last minutes to repent. Judgment is coming. Jesus says, weep, mourn for yourselves. It's interesting pictures that Jesus uses. They will wish to be childless. We're reminded that the earthly joys which we have can be taken away. They would desire not to have love of children that could be killed or murdered in war. Jesus said in elsewhere, Luke 21:23, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. Of course, this was, as we said, primarily first time fulfilled in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. Because why? Because Israel was not following after Christ. Israel and Jerusalem had fulfilled its required place in history. The persecution of Israel culminated in Megiddo. By the way, Revelation calls this Armageddon, Har meaning mount, and Megiddon, which is Megiddo. And the blood truly flowed, as John prophesied there. Now, war may be hell, but it's got nothing on real hell. We have to understand that. God's judgment is far worse than anything we can experience on this world. And so, the final day of judgment, they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Abject fear of God's judgment. Human beings will desire to be covered and destroyed rather than to face God's judgment. Jesus was able, because he is Almighty God, to suffer that judgment, that hell, in a very short time. God's judgment is far more terrifying than war could ever be. When people realize that they're going to stand before it, they will seek to hide. Isaiah 2:19, they shall go into the holes in the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake the earth mightily. The writer to the Hebrews says, yet once more God will shake the heavens and the earth. And so Christ is, in going to the cross, is making a way for His people to approach the throne of God. On this world, in worship, in prayer, for eternity, in love and glory of God purchased by Christ. But we need to understand, because of Christ we can approach. If we are outside of Christ, we are in danger of the final judgment. And as we said, God's judgment on Christ reminds us, as He says, if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry? If this is what happens to Christ, the Son of God, agony beyond our imagination. We know that he shed great drops of blood, sweat great drops of blood in Gethsemane. How much more, brothers and sisters? And he's God. He can handle, from his divine perspective, this. How much more, brothers and sisters, you and I, as we consider the judgment which we deserve. God says, Psalm 5, verse 5, you hate all workers of iniquity. If God does this to his well-beloved Son, how much more to those whom God hates? You've heard the trope, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Sorry, that's not what God says. You can't separate sin from a sinner. Psalm 7, 11 through 13. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus, in just a few words, lays before those who are following, mourning him, he lays before them life and death. He preaches the gospel to them. Weep for yourselves. Consider what we deserve. Face it, solid on in the face. Don't hide from it. At that same time, brothers and sisters, what an awesome fact that Jesus went to the cross so that you and I do not have to experience those things. As we said in the Catechism, we are righteous by faith only. How awesome. How wondrous a God. How wondrous a Savior we have. We deserve what we've been talking about. We deserve what Jesus paid. We need to face that full on. And yet Jesus took that for us and gives us eternal life. And so we do not need to fear judgment. We do not need to fear death as Christians. We can stand with confidence before the throne of God. How awesome a transformation that is that God gives us. And so, brothers and sisters, one of these last sayings of Christ that kind of gets pushed off to the side because it contains some pretty powerful, some pretty awesome facts, some pretty terrifying facts. And yes, brothers and sisters, we need to mourn for ourselves, mourn for our sins, but not because we're lost in them, but because that's what put our Savior on the cross. And he gives us eternal life. And so, at the same time we mourn, we rejoice that we have been saved, brought from death to life by our awesome Savior. Amen. Let us then bow ourselves before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our awesome God, we stand in awe of you, that you have bought us from the hell which we deserve, that you have taken that in our place. We pray, Lord, that we would truly face up to the fact that we deserve that. that we deserve hell, that we would mourn for our sins. And yet, Lord, we thank you that our debt is paid in full. And so all the more, Lord, we pray that we would rejoice in our Savior, in our awesome God, who has bought us body and soul in life and in death, and gives to us eternal life. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for that awesome salvation. We pray, Lord, that we would truly all the more take joy that hell is paid, that death is turned from a judgment to sin into an entering into eternal life. And we pray, Lord, help us to do that. Again, in all of this, we require your grace. For we bow and we pray in praise to our awesome Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.